Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is Adam O'Daniel, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Guild Mortgage, to talk about building a high-performing marketing team in this environment. First, I want to say thank you to our podcast sponsor, Vesta, for making this episode possible. Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. And hold on, I've got to just ask, does anybody ever say anything else? Because I just did it again where you say, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I feel like that's just the script for a podcast.
I don't remember anyone saying that. I mean, what would they say? Like, oh, I hate it here.
Not true at all. Thank you so much, Sarah. Really, really looking forward to talking with you.
No, this is great. So, of course, we're so happy to have you. You're going to be a speaker at our gathering event in April, and you are going to be part of our CMO playbook, and you're going to talk about 10 guiding principles for a high-performing marketing team. So we're going to preview a couple of those today, and I just have a bunch of questions about marketing. We have you on that CMO playbook because you are such a pro and have been doing this successfully for so long. So really think that there's some value here for our audience to hear about this, especially in this environment. It's been rough.
It's really hard. It's a tough, we were saying a tough year, and then it was a tough 18 months. Now I think we're almost up to 2 years of this cycle. And it is looking better, right? Like, I mean, I think we have to look forward and not look back too much. It is looking a lot better, but it has been a rough cycle.
It has been a rough cycle. So let's start there. We will look forward, but looking back a little bit, one of the things that we noticed, right, was that a lot of the people that we were used to dealing with, either from like, calling on the comp side or for sponsor content, like they just weren't there anymore. I mean, so we know that a lot of marketing teams just got gutted in this really tough period. So how do you think about that as a marketing leader and how do you respond to that?
I think the first thing you have to have is just real empathy for what people have been going through because we've all been touched by it. Every single one of us in this industry, and definitely the marketing departments in our industry. If you haven't been displaced, you have a good friend and teammate who was, or many good friends and teammates who have been displaced. Your ability to serve your customers and your clients has been affected because your team is smaller. I mean, all of us have been affected. So I think the first thing is just acknowledging that, right? And just having empathy for people about what they've been through. Even the ones who have not been displaced and managed to stick through this whole cycle in the same job or even, move into new opportunities, they've felt it. And so whenever we make a announcement or a decision or a policy change or kick off a new project, I think it's important for all of us as leaders to kind of know that that's what everyone has just been through and is still dealing with. And so let's just be aware of that and make sure that we're communicating and making decisions with that context in mind, because it's been a hard time and people have been through a lot. But I will say this, the people who I interact with, whether it's in person on my team, other teams I've worked with, on LinkedIn, in social media, like I am shocked by how strong people are, the positive attitudes they've had, people who have taken it in stride and found a new, better opportunity on the other side, or have reached out and helped somebody who was looking. Numerous CMOs have reached out to me as teams I've been involved with over the last couple of years had to downsize. Numerous CMOs reached out to me and said, "Hey, I've got one position I'm hiring for. Who did you just let go that maybe I can toss a rope to?" At competing companies. And that has really impressed me, right? The way we've worked together as an industry to try to help as many people land softly. That's been pretty impressive.
I love that about the mortgage industry. I mean, the truth is, like, it's a pretty small industry when you get right down to it. And you see people at different companies over different years. You make friends, and it's like, oh, okay, you're here now or whatever. But that ability and that willingness to want to help people land softly, is really impressive. So let me ask you about, you know, so let's step back and, you know, outside of that, how do you market? Here you are, a marketing leader at a mortgage company, right? At a mortgage lender. And it's a time where volume is pretty low. But at the same time, like every buyer is precious. We care about every single one of them. And I'm sure we always do. I'm sure lenders always do, but especially now. So what does marketing look like now?
You know, I think it's starting to normalize a little bit, right? I think part of what we're seeing, particularly at Guild, right? Guild being a larger company, we're thinking long term, and we're thinking about not just this quarter, but where are we headed next? And so I feel like we're starting to normalize some. Now, it's still very tight budgets. Nobody is spending a lot of money on advertising campaigns right now at all. But in terms of how we make decisions, it's just incredibly sharp focus on prioritization. And so, you know, for me, one of the things that we did, and you know, Sarah, I learned this the last cycle, you know, back in 2018, I was at Movement Mortgage at that time, and similar, you know, obviously a much smaller downturn, but you know, we've lived through these themes before. We did something similar then, and that is happening again now. And you just have to ask yourself some hard questions about, like, does this activity or this project or this campaign, does it immediately in a measurable way help our loan officers do more business? That's the first question, right? If the answer is no, then immediately we need to be skeptical about, is this something that we should be spending resources on? The second question, you know, in a time of market consolidation, is, does this thing, this request, project, whatever, does it help us bring in good talent, right? Does it help us get producers who are looking for a new home? And if it doesn't meet one of those two standards, then it better be just like legally required for you to be in business that we have to do this. Otherwise, you really have to ask, why are we doing this? And sadly, what that means is, like, some really cool things, some really fun projects that probably do have an ROI, that do bring in business, that do bring in loan officers, but it's hard to track, it's hard to measure it, it's hard to see it right now. Those things get put on hold. And that's not fun. That's not the reason anybody got into the marketing business, was to not do the fun projects. Right. But in a time like this, those are the things that we look at. And that was, you know, when I started at Guild a couple of months ago, that was one of the first things we had to do, was kind of immediately say, hey, what are we working on that is helping loan officers today? And what are we working on that immediately helps us, you know, recruit more loan officers and help with this market consolidation? And if we can't meet that bar, really need to question whether or not this is the time to be doing it.
So what are some of the things that help loan officers right now?
Honestly, it's the back to the basics stuff, right? I mean, it's like, can we onboard you quickly? Can we make sure you have a functioning website on day one? Can we get your business cards out quick? These things that make them feel like, hey, I just joined a new company and you ramped me up quickly. Like, that is really important for the folks who've already been here. Are we supporting you in those back to the basics activities? You're making more calls than you've ever made, or at least maybe than you've been used to in the last few years. You're out in your community more. You're hosting local events again. I mean, you're out there pounding the pavement. And so, have we done the work to make sure that your CRM is serving up the right task at the right time, so that you know exactly what kind of marketing activities you should be doing? It's a very rate sensitive environment. So do we have marketing that understands that and takes that into consideration, whether that's things like 2-1 buy down programs, builder forward programs, things like that? Have we prioritized those and made sure that we're getting that work done so that, you know, when a loan officer asks for it, because it's what their immediate need is out on the street, like, that's not the first time that it's come up on our radar, like, that we were anticipating that. And so those are the kind of things that we're doing. It really is back to the basics. And then for us, you know, in the retail, distributed retail space where we sit, the loan officer's personal brand has never been more important. And so a lot of activities around making sure that we're supporting them and helping them, whether that's through social media resources and training, video resources and training, you know, great design and branding and support from a personal brand standpoint to make sure that, you know, they're the local celebrity in their community. And when people are ready to get some advice, or they do want to know the answers to a complex market, that they're the first person that's thought of. And so we have to support them in that way.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You know, I believe that you were at one of our very first Engage conferences.
Yeah.
When we, you know, when we, those conferences were really, they were marketing conferences. And we talked so much about social. We still have, you know, at the gathering, we'll still have things about like best practices on social and also very practical things. But, you know, I know from those conferences and other things, like social is at one point, it's super important. At the same time, it is, it has its risks when you're letting people market themselves personally, right? So there's all these compliance risks. There's like, how much do you let them be themselves? And how much are you like, you really need to follow a script? How do you think about that?
Well, I think the way I look at social media, first of all, is to not think of it as an advertisement, right? So like, let's for a minute acknowledge that when most of us talk about social media, we're talking about organic social media networking, not paid advertisements or like a campaign on Facebook. So let's just set that aside for a second. So because of that, we look at it and try to coach to running your social media and doing social media in a effective, compliant way, the same way that you would your in-person networking, right? So like, let's be cautious about things that we say that we know that we can't back up, like guaranteeing rates or making certain predictions about where the market's going. Like, you cannot do that. You would never do that on stage at an event. So like, why would you do that in a Facebook video? And so we coach our teammates on how to think about social media the same way you would think about the way you might engage at a business luncheon, right? And sharing your story, not just about your business, but your personal life, right? People don't want to just hear you yelling about mortgages all the time. So one of the ways to stay compliant is like, go easy on the business talk and like actually try to build a relationship with people, connect with people, talk about, you know, where you're eating lunch today and, you know, whether or not you had a great experience there, and showcasing yourself as a person first who wants to build relationships in your community. That's almost always compliant. And so that's a great way to get yourself out there and think of social media as a relationship building tool. And then we use some great technology. You know, there's several different vendors and partners. I don't want to name any of them here. I mean, we all know who they are, but you know, there's some great tools that you can use to monitor social media. And so the way we approach it at Guild is, you know, if you are in that organic, authentic sharing, you know, mindset, then we just, you know, we monitor and audit our social media channels. And if we see something that goes outside the lines, then, you know, a quick phone call, it's a coaching moment, it's a learning moment, and we course correct and move on. But we really try to lead with coaching and lead with relationship building over constantly yelling advertisements about mortgages to people, because that's really not even effective social media in the first place.
It's really not. And, you know, consumers more than ever, right? We're like, I follow a lot of people. Obviously, I follow a ton of people, but I love seeing their different things. Like this person, like they always post about food, or this person, it's always like some random thing, right? I mean, everybody has their thing, and whatever that thing is, it's interesting to other people. We're all consuming your content, right? We're all consuming each other's content, and you're providing this for us. So, I mean, I think people get all wrapped up in like, oh, I do myself. I'm like, is this really interesting? Should I do this? But the more you can be a person, the better it is.
I'll tell you, the best connections I've made with other mortgage professionals over social media, almost all of them started with something about my personal life, right? Like, I'm a dad, I have three boys, I coach their little league baseball teams almost every season. And so I share that side of my life a lot on social media. I'll post pictures of us on the way to baseball practice or at a game, or I'll comment about something with that. And people connect with that because they've experienced that as parents, right? And so we'll make a connection. Maybe they followed me because they know that I'm a leader in our industry in the marketing space. They kind of want to see what's going on there. But when we connect and there's DMs back and forth and then a relationship is built, it's because I shared something that was not work related. And so I just think that's really important for all of us to remember, whether you're, you know, in a corporate support role like I am, or in the media like you are, or if you're out there originating every day. If you want to think about marketing on social media, you need to be thinking about like building an emotional connection with someone. And that comes from sharing just, you know, parts of your life. You don't have to broadcast everything. You know, I don't go live every single day on Instagram or anything like that, but I choose moments that are, you know, pieces of my story that I can share with the rest of the world. And that's always where an emotional connection starts.
I love that. So from your perspective, you know, channels evolve, social channels evolve. What is really effective right now? Or does it depend on somebody, like their age or their, where they are in the country? I mean, like, are you guys seeing like, oh, we really need to be on TikTok as opposed to Facebook? Is LinkedIn the right, like, where's the right place for originators to be?
You know, I always answer this question. It gets asked in a lot of different ways, but for an originator, the right place to be is where you are most comfortable. And so, you know, if you really like Facebook and you are most comfortable sharing and connecting with people on Facebook, then the place you need to be to start is Facebook. And then we can talk about, should there be other places based on your audience and your business, where, who you're trying to reach? Are there other platforms that we should look at? But it always starts with, where are you most comfortable? Where are you actually going to be consistent? For me, it's Instagram. I would be an Instagram user whether I was in this business or not. And so that's usually where I am the most active. And then LinkedIn is number two, because, you know, I am a mortgage marketing professional and I have a lot of connections on LinkedIn. And I find it very insightful to see what other people are doing professionally. And there's a lot of great resources. Housing Wire shares a lot of great content on LinkedIn. And so that's the second platform for me. And so I focus primarily on those two, not because I don't find value in TikTok. There's a huge audience there. Not because Facebook isn't valuable. It's the largest platform in the world when it comes to social. But Instagram and LinkedIn are natural for me, and I'm comfortable there, and I'm able to do it consistently. And so that would be how I would answer that question. If you're next level, if you know are already there, then I think you just have to start looking at who is your audience, like what kind of audience you're trying to build. And if it's, you know, the consumer, then, you know, shorter form educational content, whether that's on LinkedIn or Facebook Reels or, you know, whatever platform we want to talk about, that shorter form, you know, helpful, shareable, like, oh, that was cool, I'm gonna share that with a friend. That's really where you need to be thinking. You know, we've all seen those short vertical videos. I think that's, at least for the next year or two, that's not going to change. But look, it's social. And, you know, we're only a month away from some other thing dropping that completely flips it all upside down again. So you just got to be nimble and ready to move.
I love that because it's so true. And I mean, there are people who built their whole business on Facebook. They're still doing great on Facebook. I like you. I love Instagram. I would be on Instagram. You know, even I am on Instagram, even apart from business. But it's also good not to get too wedded. I mean, we're seeing those TikTok potential, you know, legislation that might make it, you know, not something that you can use. We've done a story about that, but, you know, like you said, there's always something coming up, but that authentic voice, I think, is the most important.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think, you know, too many times, we look at social media as an advertising tool. And when you do that, you're not going to be as successful. If you look at it as a relationship building tool, the opportunities open up.
I love that. Well, let's get into high performing marketing teams. What do you think? Let's just set the stage. What sets apart a high performing team?
Well, I mean, for me, it's the people on the team and then the culture that you build for those people to work in, right? And that those things go hand in hand, right? You're not going to have a great culture without great people. You're not going to have and keep great people if you don't have a great culture. And so, like, focusing on those two things simultaneously is how you build a high performing marketing team. I've been a part of three of them. And that was the common denominator in all three, at Movement Mortgage, at Open Mortgage, and now at Guild Mortgage. Those two things are pretty much non-negotiable. Now, the other stuff can look different depending on where you're at. There's a lot of different ways to go about our business. But if you don't have those two things right, the people and the culture, the rest of it isn't going to matter.
What are you looking for most? You know, maybe it's different depending on which lender you're at, but like what makes that good person? How do you know you have a good hire?
So, you know, for me, I told you I was a dad, so I break everything down into like three short sayings or little quips, right? Like I would with my kids. I've spent too much time coaching. It's three C's. It's creativity, collaboration, and care. Right? Like, that's what I look for. Is this, you know, do we have creativity? Is this someone who has their own ideas and has the confidence to share ideas and is a learner and going to bring new thought to the table, whether that's in design, video, communication, digital strategy, whatever it might be, is their creativity here. Second thing is collaboration. They have to be able to work with others, right? I've had some amazingly creative, talented people that don't play well with others. And it just, the results are clipped. They're not going to be as good if you can't collaborate and work well with others. So that's the second thing. And then a caring, you know, person, somebody with character who cares about others. Probably should do that in reverse, right? Care is probably the number one thing, but it's also the hardest thing to get to know about somebody, right? You kind of have to see it over time. But the teams that perform the highest and what I look for when we hire people are those three things, right? Do they bring creativity to the table? Are they a collaborative person that can work well with others and no ego, right? Like not in it for themselves. They're in it for the team. And then do they care, right? Like when somebody's had a tough day, are they going to notice? Are they going to say something? Are they going to reach out and take care of somebody when they're going through a rough spot? You know, we spend more time with the people we work with than just about anybody else in our life. And so we should be serious about their character when we hire them and make sure it's the kind of person that is going to build us up and not tear us down.
And it strikes me that those three things are not necessarily things that people can learn. I mean, they might learn them. So as far as creativity, that's something you can grow into, you know, like using different tools or understanding how to grow your creativity. But when you think about collaboration and the kind of person who wants to work with people and the kind of person who cares about people, those are not really, you know, I guess you'd call them soft skills, but I think of them as just, you know, like who that person is.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of that, those three are really character things. I think, you know, I've said this before. I think everyone is creative. I think sometimes in the marketing industry, we've done a disservice to ourselves by labeling certain positions creative, right? Like, oh, this is the creative team, or, you know, creatives as a class is a different group of people. And I know what we mean by that. We mean the people who actually are creating things, whether it's design, video, copy, whatever it is. But everyone is creative. And so I think it's when we say we're looking for creativity, I think it's like the kind of person who's willing to share the thoughts and ideas that the, and talents that they have with others in the creative process. But I think it's really unfair to say like some people are not creative. I think we sell people short. Maybe they're just they create in a different way. They have ideas in a different way. So I try to always encourage everyone on our team, like, hey, we're all creative here. Every idea should be surfaced. And so we're looking for people who are willing to do that, right? Who are have the confidence and the just the nature to want to be part of that process. That's what we look for when it comes to creativity. And then certainly, you know, portfolios matter, right? You look at what somebody has done and like when they have produced beautiful artwork or they have crafted beautifully executed marketing campaigns. You know, that's the proof, right? Like that's the proof, like, hey, this person really does understand what we're trying to do with not just having a creative idea, but being able to actually bring it to life. And so, some of that is nature. Some of it is learned. I think collaboration, you know, similarly is a character trait, right? You can grow in that area, but you know, if you start from a foundation of life is all about me, it's going to be hard to be a good collaborator. And then, you know, care. A lot of times people mirror how they've been treated, right? So if they've been in a caring environment, they tend to care well for others. And so we can help bring that out in people if we, you know, take the first step, right? Like you show someone you care. It's kind of like trust, right? You put your trust in them and then you see that they've earned it. And same thing, you know, I think when you show that you're willing to care for somebody, it lets them know it's a safe way for them to also reciprocate and show that care in return.
I just was reading actually on social about one of the executives at QT. I'm a huge QT fan.
Yeah.
When it comes to like, I will drive by a 7-Eleven to go to a QT in a heartbeat. And one of the things is just because when you walk in, I mean, just they have the process down so good, you know, right? So pat. But he was talking about how they realized that it was really about people who cared about other people. That's how, because people were like, well, how do you train people to do that? He goes, you really don't. He's like, you hire people who naturally are like, hey, I mean, you can tell them, greet someone when they come in the door, but it's really like that human touch. And so they ask people, I think they're one of their first questions is, tell me about the last time that you did something like, you know, paid it forward, or like this, you know, random act of kindness for someone. And they're like, if people can't come up with something, that tells you something. And they're not a bad person, but they're probably not the right fit for that. And I was like, that's for a gas station attendant. That's for somebody who's at a cash register at the gas station.
It is so interesting to hear about the hiring practices of other high performing companies in completely unrelated or different industries. I love it. So I did not know that about QT. Quick trip for those of you who are not familiar with it. So Sarah, we have one, no matter which direction we leave our house, there's, you know, the main road out from where we live, we pass one, and my kids, like, I cannot get past without them asking me to pull in there and buy them something. You know, it's like everybody wants to stop at QT. And you're right. They do have a very caring staff. They're very friendly, very helpful, I have found. And it's probably an undervalued character trait in marketing is like, do you care? Are you going to be nice to people? Can you be friendly? You know, which is like, you know, I had a leader one time talk about, you know, we should hire people that we want to work with, right? Like I want to be around this person every day. I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but, you know, Casey Crawford at Movement used to use a line similar to that. And so I'll give him credit for that. But I think it's the right sentiment. You know, it's, you know, are you a nice person? Like, can I see myself sharing a desk with you and that going well? We probably should put more stock in that sometimes.
I love that. Well, when you think about leading a high-performing marketing team, what do you see as your, you know, some of the biggest things that you can do, or most important things that you do as the leader of that team?
Yeah, the team culture is, it starts at the top, right? And so like, I have to be willing to set that both in word and in deed, right? So I have to tell people what I expect and what kind of culture we want to have and where we're going. But then if I don't do it, it's just empty words. And if I only do it, but I don't ever say it, then we lack a sense of clarity, right? Then people don't actually know. So you have to do both. And I think that's my first job in terms of leading the team, is establishing that culture. Now, you know, I also have a job to our, you know, shareholders and our customers and our clients to deliver a great experience with value and at profitability and all of those things. And so if I want to deliver on those things though, but through our team, then I have to first and foremost make sure we have a high performing culture, which, you know, envelops the things that we've just been talking about. And you have, it's not enough to say it. It's not enough to just do it. You have to do both. And I certainly have a lot of room to learn. I've made a lot of mistakes there where I've been too quiet and thought, well, they'll just see me doing it and pick up on it. And that is not always effective. And then I'm really good at being a loudmouth and coming on interviews and saying all this stuff. But, you know, then sometimes I've been my own worst enemy, where I have turned around and not lived up to my own standard. And I've had to learn that lesson too. So it's both.
It's both coming out of this, you know, looking forward, which we hope the rest of 2024 is going to be, we're going to see, you know, more volume. Looks hopeful. What are you looking forward to? Or what lessons are you taking from the last 18 months that you think, you know, if we can leverage this in this environment, taking that into the next level is going to be great.
You know, I think the thing that I am most looking forward to is how talented our industry is and how much we've been able to accomplish with kind of like the brakes put on, right? Like, hey, let's be very conservative, let's be careful. And in the middle of all of that, we've just been getting stronger and stronger from a talent standpoint. The market has helped us identify the people that are not cut out for this industry long term, that maybe their skills, talents, and abilities are better suited for something else. You know, and that's a hard process, and certainly not one that I mean to speak about lightly. But that's in our economic system, that's what happens, is the market kind of helps filter that through. And so when we see the housing market start to pick back up again, our companies in this industry are filled with incredibly talented, persevering people now. And so like, they're going to do some pretty big stuff. So there's all kinds of innovation that's been happening quietly, a lot of great ideas that are kind of sitting there waiting to take off, whether that's in technology or content, design, or just new products and strategies. And when we're able to go like meaningfully invest in those things, not just in small test cases, I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
It is going to be pretty exciting. I can't wait to see some of those things be able to come to fruition. And also, like you said, in that sort of environment, then we can be more creative. And it's not just like, oh, we've got this tight, you know, we have to, those two things that we have to really see ROI on. We can be a little bit more, you know, people can test the waters and explore a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it. And I think we've seen a lot of good, you know, kind of like back to the basics, disciplines that we've all rediscovered. And that just makes us better long-term. You know, it makes our loan officers better, makes the marketing teams that support them better. And so I'm excited to see, where we go. And I think it's going to be, you know, we could look, I can name a few. I think, look, AI, like what's going to happen with that? That's one that I'm really excited to see where that goes. I think what's next in social, right, is going to be really interesting. Like who's going to kind of innovate next in that space is really interesting to look at. I think the way that we can, this is a little bit outside of marketing, but like the way that we're going to be able to speed up and improve the customer experience in mortgage, like we're only scratching the surface of that. But I know a lot of work has been going on behind the scenes. A lot of effort and thought has been going into that. And so we're going to start to see that really pay off too. So it's an exciting time, I think, to be in our industry. Even though it has been a rough couple of years, it's an exciting time to be planning the future.
Absolutely. Adam, thanks so much for being on today. I can't believe we're already out of time. I look forward to seeing you at the gathering in April. And thanks so much for taking the time today.
Very excited. Looking forward to seeing everyone at the gathering as well.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. We'll see you back here on Monday for more news and insight.